He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday. It's the Monday version of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. And we've got, well, you know what? The market's improved since the futures this morning and since the open. The NASDAQ has now gone positive for the day. And that's a new all-time high on the NASDAQ. It's up 22 points to 14,859. The Dow just slightly down right now. The Dow is down 34 points, but on Friday it closed above 35,000 for the first time in its history, and it's holding that 35,000 level right now, even though it's down 35 points. The Dow is at 35,024 right now. S&P kind of straddling the line up, down, up, down. It's up one right now, 44.13. That's a new all-time high for the S&P 500. The small caps are starting to recover some of their losses here over the last few weeks. The Russell 2000 is up 10 points this morning to 22.19. Crude oil down 37 cents, 71.70. Gold up $1.50 to 18.03. We've got the 10-year at 1.28%. The action today, the excitement today is in Bitcoin. There is a rumor out there. I don't know if it's been confirmed that Amazon will start using. You'll be able to use Bitcoin as a shopper on Amazon. I got to check and make sure if there's any confirmation on that. But Bitcoin going wild today, up 4,393, clear up to 38,463. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with the professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Southport Capital. We had record highs on Friday. Did you see it? You know, not only did Jeff Bezos blast off last week, we had a blast off in the Dow and the S&P 500 on Friday, hitting new all-time highs. Tech seems to be taking charge once again, not just any tech. It looks like big tech, cybersecurity, the cloud stocks, etc. Today there's a lot of excitement in Bitcoin. There are rumors out there about Amazon's plans with Bitcoin. We'll check into that here in a bit. But we had a huge week last week in the market. You know, after the weakness in the growth stocks, then interest rates turned around, started going back down, and the growth stocks started to take charge once again. I am seeing some patterns right now in today's market. I've looked at a few hundred, several hundred charts here so far. Big tech looking pretty good here to start the new week. Of course, the NASDAQ hit a new high on Friday. Good-looking chart on Apple. Good-looking chart on Applied Materials, Amazon. You know, is it going to get a boost by using Bitcoin? Amazon chart looking pretty good right now. And I'm seeing some pretty good charts in the reflation stocks today. How about that? The materials, the chart of the day, copper, CPER, bringing along, grabbing coat strings of copper, Freeport-McMoRan, very good chart there today, FCX. Anything involved with Bitcoin today, or digital currencies, very strong today. Ethereum, ETHE. Of course, the blockchain ETF, BKCH and BLOK. Coinbase, COIN. Nice chart there. The industrials looking pretty good. Like I say, the reflation stocks, Caterpillar and ABB, looking pretty good here today. What looks the worst? China. What is going on? China's government is just cracking down on their publicly traded companies. There used to be a lot of these education, tutor businesses in China for profit stocks, and China cracking down and making it illegal to have a for-profit tutoring publicly traded company, and all those stocks are just getting taken to the cleaners. They're cracking down on a few other stocks this week, and they're getting taken to the cleaners. I'm looking at Alibaba getting slammed again, Data, D-A-D-A, getting slammed. And, of course, that trickles into those emerging markets, which are heavily influenced by, and China is a big part of the emerging markets. The emerging market ETFs are just getting clobbered today. With all of these issues that are taking place in China. Well, the Dow closed above 35,000 for the first time on Friday. Right now, it's slightly below it. It's at 35,984. So let's just say that the struggle to capture and to keep and to plant its flag on that 35,000 mountain continues for the Dow. In the meantime, the NASDAQ is hitting new highs, closing in on 15,000. Boy, I remember when it hit like 1,800, 1,200 back in 2002, and now moving in on 15,000, new high today for the NASDAQ. We'll be watching interest rates this week. That's really driving the market. As interest rates went down, that really took a bite out of the financials, the banks, which were doing really well earlier this year. And as interest rates headed lower, it also helped the technology stocks. Now, this is going to be a huge week for earnings. Many, many big tech stocks. I want to say Apple reports tomorrow. But overall, out of the S&P 500 stocks, we've got 180. Wow, 36% of the S&P 500 will report earnings this week. And another 10 Dow Jones Industrial Average stocks will report earnings this week. And during the show, a little later in the show, I'll give you an update on how this earnings season has started. Has it come roaring out of the gate? Has it stumbled out of the gate? Or is it about where expected? Well, I can tell you one of those three is the correct answer. And we'll talk about that here in a little bit. We've got some stocks that have reported here today. But let's just go back to last week for a minute, which was a record-setting week, and you had a huge breakout on the Dow and the S&P on Friday. Communication services, the number one sector for the week. Consumer discretionary, which I've been talking about a little bit, how Chipotle and Lululemon and a few others of the consumer discretionary stocks doing really well. Information technology, which is at the heart of the internet, Facebook, had a huge Friday. You had a huge gain on Snap on Friday. Twitter had a pretty good week after a decent earnings report. Google just blasting off right now. Healthcare had a pretty good week last week. Settling down a little bit today. The industrials had a good week. Those were your leaders last week. And as I say, so far as we start off a new week, I am seeing a pattern, at least today, very strong day for basic materials, especially copper. Very strong day for anything related to the digital currencies and blockchain. And a very strong day so far for big tech. The PMI composite flash signals fall in July activity. I've noticed that the reports on the economy have been a little bit on the soft side recently. And, of course, you know, if you go back a week ago today, we had a market that was down 750 points on fear that the economy had peaked and was starting to move towards a recession. Well, that was kind of a one-off. Actually, it was 2 days. It was last Monday and the previous Friday. And then we had four straight up days as the market seemed to, you know, brush that theory aside. And, you know, the continued fear about the COVID variant, it continues to spread, but it does not seem to be nearly as potent as the original COVID, and not having much of an effect yet on lockdowns and this kind of thing, and restaurants shutting and airlines closing down. That hasn't happened. Okay, when we come back, the biggest short squeeze in the market right now, wow, it's really squeezing this asset class today. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, you've probably learned a lot about short squeezes this year. You saw one of the ultimate short squeezes of all time earlier this year in GameStop, GME, where huge blocks of shares had been shorted by the hedge funds for the most part. And in came the retail investors ganging up on the hedge funds and started to buy that stock big time, you know. And as the stock went higher, hedge funds' short positions value went lower. In fact, put a few hedge funds out of business. And GameStop went up to giddy heights. It's still way above, way beyond what it's worth. But GameStop, you know, they took advantage of that big short squeeze, and when the shares were high, they raised some more capital to put into their business and into their stores. And, you know, the rest will be history. We'll see if GameStop can kind of survive a trend in the gaming industry that's changing away from going to the store. Just like you used to go to the video store and get the videos, GameStop. We'll see whether or not they can survive. But it was one of the biggest short squeezes of all time. Well, now you're seeing one in Bitcoin. Bitcoin, I guess, had some pretty heavy short action. And then on Thursday of last week, some heavy hitters came on and had a little bit of a get-together talking about Bitcoin, including Cathie Wood and a few others, Elon Musk, and that drove the shorts fleeing for cover, and in came, they had to cover their shorts, which makes the stocks go up. They've got to buy back those positions that they've shorted, makes the, not the stock, but the asset class go up, and today you're seeing more of that short squeeze. Sentiment on Bitcoin turned bullish over the weekend as the world's most popular cryptocurrency topped its 50-day moving average. It was up. It's up 12.5% today. Its highest level since mid-June, and within sight of its $41,341 resistance level. Well, here's what happened. Optimism is still running high from last week's B-word event. I talked about that, well, either Wednesday or Thursday of last week, where ARK Invest's Cathie Wood and Square's Jack Dorsey touted the potential for Bitcoin and encouraged corporations to add the asset to their balance sheets. Tesla's Elon Musk also disclosed that SpaceX owns Bitcoin, and that he wants the world's largest crypto to succeed. Meanwhile, environmental concerns over mining and Chinese regulatory worries appear to have worn off. while traders are exiting bets on declines at a record pace. Well, you know, this whole big decline really came from China, which has been a pretty vicious actor recently in the markets. China shutting down, you know, the Bitcoin miners and telling them to leave China. And that really started the sell-off. And that created a record $1.2 billion in short. Well, there was more shorts than that. $1.2 billion have liquidated over the past 24 hours, okay? How much more short interest is out there that is going to be coming out of Bitcoin as news continues to come out? Now, today, all right, the rumor is that Amazon is said to be looking at accepting Bitcoin payments by the end of the year, and it's exploring its own token for 2022. Amazon coming out maybe with its own crypto? This is according to City AM. Amazon is expected to take Ethereum, Cardano, and Bitcoin Cash as a payment before the company brings another eight or so of the most popular cryptos online. Last week, Amazon advertised a job vacancy for a digital currency product lead, possibly signaling further plans to accept cryptocurrency. You know, to get a scoop on a story or to get a scoop on a stock or an asset class, they're even looking at the want ads, okay, the classified ads. This is what started this rumor, a company ad, okay, advertising a job vacancy for a digital currency product lead. Well, there you go. Amazon really helping Bitcoin pop here and make a lot of those shorts, they're flying out of the short positions that they had. Hong Kong dips more than 3% amid Chinese tech and education rout. Man, I'm just looking at the FXI. That's the ETF, the China Large Caps FXI. Now, I've been talking for several weeks now about how the Chinese stocks just look awful, and they continue to look awful. I have no exposure whatsoever to China, whereas last year it was a pretty good place to be invested with some money. JD.com, PDD, Data, D-A-D-A, Daco Energy, DQ, and a lot of those Chinese electric vehicle stocks were doing good, Li and Boyd, and others, Niu and Neo. I don't know if they're related to each other, but that all turned around. It kind of all started with Alibaba, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, China decided to go after Jack Ma and his pending spinoff from Alibaba of Ant Financial Group. That's where it all started. And Jack Ma disappeared for several months and whatnot. And then the China government has just increased the pressure. And, recently you had the Uber of China, Didi, China going after that one, which that company just recently went public. They're going after Tencent Holdings today. About their, the copyright protection that they have, exclusive rights to a lot of the music. It's really ugly. They went after Bitcoin and the Bitcoin miners, and I'm just seeing the crossfire and caught in the crossfire almost every Chinese stock today. It's the Chinese education companies, which they seem to be outlawing. How do you play that? FXP. FXP is the inverse China ETF. FXP, in fact, it's double inverse. And there's one out there that's triple inverse. It's either yin or it's yang. I'm not sure. Okay, one of those. Don't buy the wrong one. You might get really yanged on that. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now show. And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, the market is drifting today after a record-setting week last week with the Dow, S&P, NASDAQ all closing at new all-time highs, not 52-week highs, all-time highs, since the beginning of the NASDAQ, since the beginning of the Dow, since the beginning of the S&P 500. Never have the markets closed at the levels that they closed at on Friday. Now, this has kind of been going on for 13 years. We had earnings bottom out in 2009 at $53 per share for the S&P 500. And this year we're looking at about $190 per share. Now the question is, where do we go from here? Well, we're in earnings season. And I know that Apple reports tomorrow. I want to give an update on the earnings season. We'll have 180 S&P 500 stocks reporting this week. Tesla steers into earnings with plenty of wild cards, including the Bitcoin puzzle. You know, Tesla is a very hard one to predict. It's all about deliveries. You know, how many cars did they sell during the quarter? Tesla will report, I'd want to say, after the close today, that they have raised prices, get this, on their Y and X cars, Model 3 and Model Y, 7 price increases for the year. Okay, that's one factor. Will that make earnings beat expectations? We'll see. Okay, another factor that they have, the German Gigafactory, where they hope to really launch sales of Teslas in Europe from, is progressing slower than hoped. There are also reports that the company is looking to lower its taxes on sales of imported electric vehicles in India, while Electric highlights that some Model S deliveries may be on hold for an unspecified reason. Well, this whole part shortage is really, it's hurting the auto industry. It's hurting, on Friday it was Intel that reported earnings and said, you know, if it wasn't for all these shortages around the world, our earnings would have been a lot better than they actually were. So, you know, that's got to be a worry with Tesla. Will they say, well, you know, we didn't quite make our earnings numbers because of part shortages and trouble with the assembly line and whatnot? We'll see. And then, of course, the whole Bitcoin thing. Earlier in the week, Tesla CEO Elon Musk said that Tesla is likely to start taking Bitcoin payments again. And investors will be looking for another update on Tesla's Bitcoin holdings. Okay. So a lot of things. I think highly unpredictable is what I would say about today's earnings coming from Tesla after the close of the market. Now, let's take a look at earnings season and see where we're at so far, as we're, you know, about three weeks into it now. Well, I would say, if I were to give it one word, I would say smashing, quite smashing. It's been a smashing earnings season, even though it's early in the game. But, you know, with 1/4 of the S&P 500 companies now reporting, I mean, we have a pretty good trend in place that I think will continue. Now, when we started this earnings season, we were looking for about a 60% jump or growth from the same quarter last year, which was the COVID quarter, right in the heart of COVID. Now we're up to 74%, okay? We're expecting 74% growth, which means that earnings expectations for this quarter have gone up considerably since the beginning of earnings season. Now that flows into this year's annual earnings estimates, next year's annual earning estimates, and the year after that. So that all bodes well. As we know, if you listen to my show, that stocks and indexes trade on earnings expectations, and right now expectations have been moving higher. In addition to that, Of those one-fourth of S&P 500 companies that have reported their earnings so far, 88% have reported a positive EPS surprise. That's about as good as it gets. I have not seen 88% this deep into earnings season, I don't think ever before. In addition to that, 86% of companies are reporting a positive revenue surprise, okay? Sales surprise. So we have really gotten off to a smashing start, I would say, one-fourth of the way into earnings season with another 30%. This is the biggest week of all, this week and next week. And I would just say with this trend that we have right now, I would expect another smashing week this week of earnings reports. I don't see any reason why all of a sudden they would start coming in way short of expectations. Now, here's the downside of all of this. With the new highs of the markets last week, the forward P.E. ratio of the market is now 22.82. Well, I've seen it as high as 23 recently, but that's about as high as it gets in recent years. The 10-year average is 16.2. Well, what's keeping that PE, forward PE ratio, inflated? Well, the Fed, with their low interest rates. The market started taking interest rates higher earlier this year, and that started taking the high PE and the market lower, but then the market turned around and started taking interest rates lower. So keep in mind that even though the Fed has not done anything with interest rates, the market can hike interest rates by selling off bonds, and the market, and I suppose you could say that the Fed also can hike interest rates by selling off bonds. And they can also lower rates, both the markets and the Fed, by buying bonds. So anyways, we're at a very, very high multiple right now. In my newsletter every week, I put a chart, a 90-year historical PE chart, and show you where we are at right now compared to the last 90 years. The PE ratio of the S&P right now, 31. Wow, that is really, really high. Interest rates have to remain low in order to support that PE ratio, number one. And number two, earnings season has to continue like it has started in smashing fashion with earnings expectations going higher, much higher for this quarter, Q4 or Q3 of this year, which we're now in, Q4. And for the entire year, and now the market is trading not only on next year's earnings estimates, but going clear out to 2024 and 2024's earnings estimates. So that's where we're at right now in earnings season. Now, okay, let's go back to March of 2020, right at the darkest. You're in a tunnel, it's black all around you, you can't see any light ahead. Well, the market could see light out there on the horizon. Obviously, it could see where we're at today with earnings, okay? We're going to have a record year of earnings this year. And when the market was trading at its gloomiest and investors were the most gloomy, the market started looking ahead, which it always does. Individual investors look at the short term. The market looks out a couple years and saw today. All right, the market was right. And Bill Gunderson wrote about it, and Bill Gunderson was right. And here we are today. We've achieved new highs once again in the market. We're going to have record earnings this year. And those expectations for the next 2 years, I update every single week in my weekly newsletter. It's in the macro outlook, and there you'll find my target price for the S&P 500. I've been right for the last 13 years. You might want to follow along. with the newsletter. I give out 2 free weeks of the full newsletter with all the portfolios, the macro outlook, all my technical analysis of the market. You go to my website at GundersonCapital.com. That's GundersonCapital.com. When we come back, we'll try to highlight a few good-looking stocks here right now. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now show. To the final segment of the Best Stocks Now show for the day on what will be a very, very, very big week of earnings reports. Boy, Apple looks pretty good. It's kind of halted here right at its all-time high, backing off a little bit. They'll be reporting tomorrow. We'll have Tesla tonight. Oh, boy. Fasten your seatbelt. When does Amazon report? Amazon will be reporting earnings on the 29th. What's that, Thursday? So it is going to be a wild and woolly week in the market with earnings driving the picture. Now, 2 weeks ago, or a week ago, I guess, a week ago Monday today, when the Dow was down 725, at the end of the day, I said, look, the market is overreacting to fear of this COVID variant, Delta variant, and us going back into an economy like we had in 2020, during the spring of 2020. I said, I don't think that's going to happen. I think the market's going to start looking at earnings. It always comes back to earnings, and it did, and it is, and earnings have been smashing so far. We're about 25% of the way through earnings season. By the end of this week, we'll be about 50 to 60% through earnings season. You might want to sign up for this week's newsletter, because I'll have all the highlights and updates to the big macro picture. You go to my website at GundersonCapital.com. to get 2 free weeks of my weekly newsletter. Okay, we're going to feature a stock here today. We wrote about it last week. Did you read our latest article? I don't know if our article moved the stock. Well, probably not. Probably something else that moved the stock last week, especially on Friday. Oh, my gosh, that stock just took off. You know, it's a controversial stock. And how do you handle that situation? You know, what if you don't like the politics of the CEO of the stock, or you don't like some of their policies or whatever? You know, look, I'm an investor looking to make money in the markets. And I look for big growers, I look for superior earnings, I obviously look for the best stocks now. And one of the most powerful, potent advertising platforms of all time, because they have so much information and they can, you know, narrow it down so much. They know so much about you. I don't know what you can do about it. They know a lot about you. And they're aiming ads at you, and they know that they have a high percentage, a high probability of success with the ads that they're aiming at you, given your taste, your likes, your habits, etc., status as far as how much money, you're wealthy, you're poor. It doesn't matter. They know everything about you, and they're targeting ads at you. They know what you like. Well, Facebook, okay, they're under constant scrutiny from governments all over the world. They're paying fines all the time. But in the meantime, over the last 5 years, this mega technology platform has grown their earnings by 32% per year. Facebook is now had joined the $1 trillion club, okay, from a dorm room at Harvard to $1.05 trillion in market capitalization. Their P.E. ratio right now is 32, and that matches their growth rate over the last 5 years of 32. So you got a 1-to-1 peg ratio. Now, on forward P.E., the peg ratio was 1.2. So the stock is not that expensive for a growth stock of this magnitude, of this size. And it's picking up momentum again. It had a massive breakout to a new all-time high on Friday of last week. Now, if you go to seekingalpha.com, you can read our article and our thesis behind owning Facebook in our premier growth portfolio. Now, let me ask you this. If you're looking right now, you've got a roster. You know, the baseball, Friday's the big trading deadline, and baseball teams all across America are scrambling to try to improve their teams this year if they're contenders, trying to get those missing pieces, or they're looking for missing pieces to improve their team in the future and willing to give up some of their veterans or whatever, you know, in order to achieve that. So they're trying to put the best roster on the field right now, given the circumstances that they're in. Now, as you look around the world and you're looking for large cap premier growth stocks, it's pretty hard to leave out a $1 trillion company that's been growing by 32% per year. That's their earnings. And is expected to continue growing by 20% per year going forward. You know, I hear the argument all the time, oh, nobody's on Facebook anymore. They're all on Snap and they're on Instagram and all these others. Well, then why in the world are people spending so much money to advertise on Facebook? Why is it the one of the platforms that you have to be on and advertise on? And why have their earnings been growing by 32% per year? And why has it become a $1 trillion company if nobody's on the platform anymore? You've got momentum going right now, and the value is still fairly inexpensive. Facebook is currently ranked number 19 out of 5,817 stocks in my database. Stocks, mutual funds, ETFs included in that database. No wonder we wrote about it, ranked at number 19 overall. It had a huge day. The day after our article was published, or 2 days after our article was published, maybe we moved the stock. I don't know. Did we push it over a trillion? I don't know. Probably their earnings. And speaking of earnings, Facebook will report their earnings in 2 days. So anyways, we'll make that our featured stock of the day, the symbol FB. Whether you like Zuckerberg or not, the stock is a monster. All right, if you'd like to make an appointment with us, you can call us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. That's a toll-free number. You can start out with our newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.